This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Squeeze me! You make my heart sing. We talk everything. Baseball. Come on, squeeze play.
Rangers radio with the call. Game you heard right here, 105 through the fan. 2-1, they beat the Seattle Mariners, who they stink. They're 23-29. They started the year 12-2. I'm no math guy, but that is an 11-27 record.
Seattle Seahawks could play better defense than the Mariners play on a baseball field.
Sweep for the Rangers. They've won four straight, seven of their last eight, 24-23 now, over 500. Day off today in L.A. against the Angels tomorrow night.
So the reason we played Danny Santana's cut there for two reasons. One, it was a good cut. Secondly, C.J. Wilson, my God.
Yeah, what was C.J. Wilson's analysis of sounded like?
Dude, I mean, he got the hit because, you know, like, I didn't make a bad pitch, okay? It was bad play by the fielders, man. The umpire should have struck him out six pitches ago. I know it was the first pitch of the at-bat, but the umpire still should have struck him out.
Excuses is now complicating.
So C.J. Nikowski brought this up. Danny Santana, switch hits. Batting lefties, batting 341. Batting righty, 154. Pitcher for winning only Marco Gonzalez is a lefty pitcher. However, here are some other lefties numbers. Hit over 300 against him while righties bat 262. So if Danny Santana hits 341 lefty and Marco Gonzalez gives up a 306 batting average to left-handed hitters, why wouldn't Danny bat his better side, even though it's against a left-handed pitcher, against a lefty who does not have a great slider? It's not like he's Andrew Miller out there.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't he do that? That was an interesting take from CJ. Someday someone's going to do this. Someone's going to attend. They already do it against, like, knuckleballers. Like, righties will bat righty. Switch hitters will bat righty against a knuckleball. I wonder if they ever will do this against a lefty pitcher.
Their new brand of baseball. Why wouldn't he?
Unless he's just hasn't. I mean, when was the last time? He's a switch hitter in the majors.
Yeah, against lefties, Danny Santana's hitting 176.
Right, which means that's as a right-handed batter, he's not hitting very well. Right? So it would, this would lead you to believe that you would want to bat the better hand you are. The only thing I could think of is, you know, Danny didn't become a switch hitter when he got to the majors. He's been switch hitting since, like, high school before. So he's never seen a 90-mile-an-hour fastball from a left-handed pitcher batting lefty.
All right, how is the new draft rules going to hurt the Rangers?
So the new international draft, MLB is looking into starting an international draft, and that is something that I would not be in favor of for this Ranger team. They have pumped over the last 15 years, really since John Daniels has been here, they have pumped so much money into the international pool. This would level the playing field for them. Look at the Rangers roster. Guzman, international. Odor, international. Elvis, Mazzara. I mean, over the years, they've had more and more guys. Their regular drafts have not been that rewarding for them. They've changed it a little bit. But, you know, there was a time where they were going super high upside prep kids, and it just wasn't working out. And they've changed that a little bit to their credit. But I think this would level the playing field around Major League Baseball, and I think it would be a disservice to the Rangers, who have done so well finding guys, high-quality players. Because you could sign a Latin player at 16 years old, international player at 16. And they've done a really good job finding this. I mean, that's where they, even though it didn't work out, that's where they found Profar and stuff, you know? So I think it's just like a little bit of a downside.
All right. I cannot wait to get into this discussion. Bryant Gumbel, sports broadcasting legend on one of our boss's favorite shows, HBO Real Sports, talking about baseball, numbers, and analytics.
How ironic, then, that the same obsession with numbers that once made the game a national pastime is now complicating its problems. Much of the blame can be traced to the modern preoccupation with the silly numbers produced by the analytics folks who value metrics that do little more than cloud a player's image. It's a troubling mentality that somehow rewards a pitcher for winning only 10 games, but diminishes a hitter who bats 300. Here are some other troubling numbers: 9, 301, and 55. Respectively, they're the percentage that attendance is down this year, the average length of each game, and the average age of today's baseball fan. And if you think those three things are interrelated, well, you're onto why the players in the game have been bypassed in popular culture. In response to the declining interest, baseball's supposed caretakers are floating all kinds of new age ideas, everything from automated strike zones and pitch clocks to changing the very basics of what made it popular in the first place. And for this lifelong baseball fan, that's sad to see. Of course, those in charge could justifiably claim that I'm just an old get-off-my-lawn guy who can't embrace their new brand of baseball, to which I'd plead guilty and simply ask, how's that new brand working out for you?
Ooh. All right. Look, that was very good stuff. And I am an analytics guy, but I totally get how it has killed Major League Baseball. It has made it boring. It has made it largely unwatchable.
How so?
Because everyone, it's Earl Weaver's dream come to life. Earl Weaver would wait around for the three-run homer. He played a boring, atrocious brand of baseball.
Yeah.
Because the three-run homer doesn't come all that often.
Right.
There's no movement. There's no, it's just, it's beer league softball on a major league diamond.
Yeah.
And it's tough to watch.
Yeah.
It's not a brand of baseball you teach anyone. Anyone. You would ever teach it.
Right.
Let
me give you an example of the stats that are hurting my mind, hurting my brain.
Okay.
It doesn't become as fun to follow something when it becomes like more complicated, at least for me.
Yeah.
Sandler retweeted this yesterday about Joey Gallo, retweeted it. Gallo is simply hitting better. He decreased both topping the ball and hitting under the ball percentages. That's very hard to do. He's basically squaring the ball better, as you can see by the jump in barrels, which was already high to begin with. All right, so I get it. He's hitting the ball more square. But when I went and looked at this graphic that Jared retweeted, batted ball profile, ground ball percentage, I'm guessing this is fastball percentage, LD percentage.
Oh, FB? No, that's fly ball.
Fly ball percentage, sorry. LD percentage, that's line drive. PU percentage.
Pop up.
Pull percentage, straight percentage, opposition percentage, weak percentage, top percentage, under percentage, flare slash burner percentage, solid percentage, yeah, barrel percentage. I want to kill myself. Yeah. I want to kill myself while analyzing and talking about all this stuff. When Sandler's Twitter account is awesome, okay? But I also want to smash it with a baseball, yeah, bat when I'm looking at it, because I don't want to have to factor in 9 different percentages and things before I make... I'm scared to make baseball statements. I'm scared to make a baseball tweet. I'm scared to make a baseball observation because I know there's 11,000 different percentages and numbers and this and that in order to counter it. And right. I know it's supposed to make you smarter and it's supposed to, you know, give you better research and all that, but it's so overwhelming for me.
Yeah, it's overwhelming. It's... Now, look, those are all great for scouting reports, okay? Those are phenomenal numbers. Those are tools that Woody uses to relay to the players, hey, look, you're doing this, you're doing that. Those are great numbers. They don't really mean a whole lot to the average fan. My hatred falls into, look, yesterday we said, Ruggie went 1-for-4, and I'm like, only Ruggie would be able to go 1-for-4 and improve his average. And Sandler's like, well, you know, the average in baseball this year is 245. So for the first time in 150 years of baseball, that is an incorrect statement, which bothers me. And I'm sorry, I know slugging percentage is important, but in no world is a guy who goes 1-for-4 with 3 strikeouts and a home run better than a guy who goes 4-for-4 with 4 singles. In no world is those two guys the same. The guy who goes 4-for-4 with 4 singles is a better baseball player. He put the ball, he got on base 4 separate times The slugging percentages may be the same, but he got on base four separate times and made potential for runs to be scored in multiple at-bats. And I just, you know, the game has changed. They're using the numbers differently. And some of the things I like and some of the things I don't. I love how analytics have given us a different way to judge history. It's pretty simple. What's this guy's war? What's that guy's war? Oh, that guy was a better baseball player. It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
But when you break down to what numbers are more important and how I think it really slows the pace of games down, it screws everything up.
All right, we have to get to the Orioles announcer. It happened again. Gleyber Torres, you think, who owns the Rangers these days?
Chris Davis, Kyle Seager was a Ranger killer. I think it's Chris Davis, though.
Mike Trout, yeah. Chris Davis. That's nothing. That's RJ Choppy. Nothing compared to Gleyber Torres. You want to play the first one, Troy? This is Gary Thorne, Orioles broadcast after Torres did him again.
Castro's 1-0 delivery to him. Torres drives that ball center field, hit deep. Going back near the wall. Wilkerson, maybe. Nope. Goodbye, home run. Get him out of there. Don't throw to him.
I never seen anything like
Put
it.
Put up four fingers.
I've never seen anything like it.
He is just tearing the Orioles apart.
Yesterday, it happened not just again. It happened again and again. Gleyber Torres, second home run of the game yesterday, makes it the fourth time this year that he has a multi-homer game against just the Orioles. Again, the fourth time this season he's had a multi-homer game against the O's. Gary Thorne can't take it.
In the air to right field, Mancini going back on the ball by Torres. Way back, up, and... Ah! I don't even know. Goodbye, home run. I mean,
he died inside. He's a broken man.
Gleyber Torres has 12 total home runs on the year. 10 of them have come against the Orioles.
I got some numbers here. The Yankees now have 34 home runs against the Orioles this year alone. Okay. Baltimore has allowed 5 home runs 7 different times this season. That is an American League record. They've played 49 games. They've allowed 5 home runs in a game 7 times in 49 games.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.